What a gift to be together again, to be in the company of each other in this beautiful space that holds the memories and energies of all who have crossed its threshold and worshiped in its embrace. As we've gathered the waters of our summer journeys, we also celebrate and honor the journeys of those who have been with us over time. Not least Lily and Tom, but others who have shared the hours of their lives in the presence of these pews and windows and walls. Those people and creatures whose love we have brought with us when we gather, who may still inhabit our hearts, if not the earth we walk on. A friend of mine visited this summer. We came into this space in the quiet of a summer morning. We looked around, and she wept. She said, "It's so filled with history and spirit and love here." We come together to make sense of our time, to make meaning out of it, to honor it, and to question it, and in our most hopeful hours, to celebrate it. Life is all such a gift and also such an enigma. In the opening of his book, Anam Kara, former priest and poet John O'Donohue, who may be familiar to many of you, writes, "It is strange to be here. The mystery never leaves you." I don't think he meant Ireland. I think he meant here. It is strange to be here. And Emerson writes, "I would study, I would know, I would admire forever." So we are holding in our lives both mystery and admiration. Our image for the morning is water. "You are not the wave," the little wave reminded the big wave. "You are water, fluid and powerful, yet full of grace and gentle capacity to nourish everything and yet override the most hard, the jagged edges, the impeded streams." John Cage's piece, "While We Were Dropping Our Stones and Gathering Our Water," was indicative of that agitation, that not quite settled. "The way a tree is not made of wood, it is wood. A mountain is not made of rock, it is rock." We celebrate the metaphor that we are not the wave, we are water. Now, some of you may be thinking, she spent a little too much time in the sun this summer. I don't know what she is talking about, water. Get back to your desk. Way back in June, I bumped into a reading by author and educator and social change agent Parker Palmer about something he called a corrective to violence. A corrective to violence. We have just experienced the anniversary of 9/11 just behind us, and we know that the incidence of unrest in our world continues. Images most recently of refugees from Syria, continuing domestic struggles around racism and immigration, not to mention the daily incidents of conflict in our own lives, microaggressions, they are sometimes called, that wear on our hearts and weary us. You can imagine the idea of a corrective to violence as being very alluring. What is faith community if not an effort to be at peace in the world, to make it for others and to experience it for ourselves? And I was reminded as I was reading Parker Palmer of an old favorite, what is called the watercourse way of Taoism. It focuses on the humble and fluid patterns of water. This watercourse way invites us to flow quietly but persistently around the obstacles that stand between us and the common good, wearing them down as a river erodes boulders. It's not to ignore or to pretend that obstacles to peace do not exist. It is to observe our way of response. There is, in this ancient Chinese philosophy, written significantly in the Tao Te Ching, which is before the turn from Common Era, before the Common Era, to Common Era, probably 200 to 400 years before. A sense of basic humility. We do not hear nature boasting about nature, nor water holding a conference on the technique of flowing. I have spent much of the summer revisiting these texts and offer this wisdom, or just a small portion of it, as an encouragement to all of us to a more gentle way of living, a more gentle way of being in the world, one we might practice together and offer to those around us. But it's curiously not a familiar way to us in the West. This idea of non-action, of flowing, of swimming with the current, is a bit foreign to us. We are more comfortable striving, like Emerson, we would know. We are workers, and we are often working to understand life, if you will, practicing and applying ourselves. We like strength and muscles and capacity to be observable things, to be measurable. But our striving invariably complicates the path, doesn't it? Wendell Berry's writing this morning, like much of his writing, his focus on nature and the intersection of the natural world and our human impact on it. But still interesting to note how his reference to the mind that is not baffled, not being employed, feels a very Western construct in many ways. The impeded stream is the one that sings, he reminds us. The mind that is not baffled is not employed. And yet, Taoism would suggest, our waterway would suggest, that the mind can be part of the stream's impediment. Our work, in essence, should not be our work, but only our acceptance. The stream, life itself, is always impeded by definition. It sings with all the joys and sorrows and everything in between that cross our paths. Buddhists think of these stones in the river's path as perhaps the reality of suffering. In Taoist thinking, it is only suffering if one perceives it that way as a result of imagining that life might somehow be without them. So long as we desire the experience called pleasure, we imply and so generate its opposite. These words from Alan Watts, some of you may know, wrote a book about this, about the watercourse way, way back in 1975. He has lived such a good life, the man told me of his father. He doesn't deserve this kind of ending, this depleting illness. Deserve, I wondered. Who deserves? Does one earn illness or loss or discomfort any more than one earns joy or happiness? It is only what is, like the stone in the stream's path. We can rail against it and rail against the injustice of it. And like our opening words, bring our broken hearts and our anger and our passion, our need for healing and our power to heal to the room we all share. These are real and worthy. And at some point, there may be a moment of our understanding that we are a kind of non-order, a non-linear, not measurable, like uncontained water. That acceptance is such a foreign concept to our Western living. We are encouraged to understand an ability and capacity to improve, to learn, to do better, to strive. Remember, Emerson, I would study, I would know. It's in our DNA to want more. We are encouraged to think of this moving forward, this managing change, understanding life as bold and creative, this construct of good and better and best embraces competition and achievement. It feels energized and alive. It is the big wave headed towards the shore. I'm the biggest, I'm the fastest. But there can be a kind of desperation in that striving, a hubris that is constantly reaching after some elusive goal that if we only worked harder, would be ours to enjoy. If we only exercised more, we would feel younger. If we only spent more time at our jobs, we might be wealthier. If we only understood pain or loss, we could mitigate it, perhaps. This is the storm that maybe Chopin was communicating to us in our meditation piece. But then there are the ducks. Remember the ducks that Sam wrote to us, read to us about, sheltering the sanderlings like a feathered hedge. Let them crouch there and live under their wings with the kindness of their nature, the miracle of that simple gesture. How do we come to this place of flowing, of kindness in storm and miracle? Of not yearning, of not striving. Alan Watts suggests our only way of apprehending it is by watching the processes and patterns of nature and by the meditative discipline of allowing our minds to become quiet so as to have vivid awareness of what is without verbal comment. Without verbal comment. I fear that would put me out of business. This is our time of practice, of being quiet to the world outside, of taking the time to let our joys and our sorrows flow together and mingle and wash through us. The way of water offers us an image of effortlessness, invariably graceful in the wave, the flying spray, or the merest trickle. The eloquent, eloquent metaphor of life and water. As we move together this year, I hope our common journeys can feel as powerful as the giant wave, as grace-filled as the flowing river, as gentle as the gurgling brook. May our song, undoubtedly as impeded as a stream filled with stones, be one of peace and harmony, accepting the challenges we each and all face with the knowledge that this is life. The beauty and the tragedy of it is our gift. This is our way, and we are so blessed to share it all together. May it always be so. Amen.